Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop for this Wednesday, October 4th. I'm Ray Graff. Pets and Vets returns today, and joining us is veterinarian Dr. Carrie O'Loughlin of Del Mar Animal Hospital. Our number to call, if you have a question for Dr. O'Loughlin, is 800-348-2551. 800-348-2551. You may also email your questions to voxpop@wamc.org. But again, our number is 800-348-2551. Dr. Carrie O'Loughlin is here. Your calls, your animal questions, coming up on Vox Pop, Pets and Vets, right after the news. Hello, once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. Well, it's our Pets and Vets program this afternoon, and we welcome back Dr. Carrie O'Loughlin of Del Mar Animal Hospital in Del Mar, New York. It's always a popular program when we do our Pets and Vets show, so best to call early. The number is 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. You can also try an email if you wish. We don't always get to all of the emails. Or all of the calls, for that matter, but we do our best. The email address is voxpop@wamc.org. Now, if you email the question, try to be, you know, concise, but give us as much information as you can about your pet, including age and sex. Name optional, but you get the idea. voxpop@wamc.org, and the number is 800-348-2551. Dr. Carrie O'Loughlin, welcome back.
Well, it's nice to be back.
Beautiful day.
It is gorgeous.
Beautiful day for a tick bite.
Yeah, unfortunately. This time of year, a lot of people seem to think it's getting colder out. We've had some pretty frosty nights.
Yep.
And they think, oh, good, they're done. No, not done.
No.
Fleas, once we get a good killing frost, will pretty much be done for the year. But ticks stay active all year round. If we get freezing weather, they just kind of go into hiding for, they find a nice cozy spot next to the house. And then as soon as we have anything above 32, they're right out there. I've seen ticks on dogs in February.
So the best way, in your estimation, to keep a dog or cat tick-free during any time of the year is?
Oh, there's all sorts of really wonderful preventatives these days, from, you know, spot-on products, oral products, collars. I will say you definitely get what you pay for. So, you know, you go to the grocery store and you buy a cheap flea and tick collar, you're probably not going to get that good of protection.
But well, a good flea collar ain't cheap.
No, the good ones are not cheap. But that's what I mean. You get what you pay for.
And they last a long time, 6-7 months.
They do. They do.
Our number here is 800-348-2551. And, Doc, before we get to the phones, a few emails that came in early. This one came in a couple of hours ago. This is from Liz. My cat is fat. I mean 25 pounds fat. Can you find out how much a 5-year-old adult male cat should be fed? Maybe I'm overfeeding him.
Well, the biggest thing is what she's feeding them. It's, you know, dry food, canned food.
Yeah.
Most fat cats are on dry food.
Yeah.
It's really hard to make a cat fat feeding them canned food. So I have to admit, I have a fat cat myself.
Yeah.
And I am about to put her on an all-can diet because the dry food is not working. So some cats can do dry and they don't have a problem. But if you have a fat cat, all-can diet is the way to go.
Okay, fair enough. And this one came in from Chris. My 16-year-old female tabby has been treated for hypothyroidism for the last 4 years. Now she's showing the early signs of kidney failure. She has been on a prescription renal diet for almost a year. We've had experience years ago with rehydration therapy with a very mellow cat. If our tabby will not tolerate the therapy, is there anything else we can do?
Yeah, so thyroid disease and kidney disease are both very common in elderly cats.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, when you have that combination, it's sort of a tightrope walk. You want to treat the thyroid disease because that will make cats get really skinny. And lose tons of weight, and it's not good for their heart. But on the other hand, when you treat the thyroid disease, it can add stress to the kidneys. So we sort of moderate our thyroid treatment when we have a cat with kidney disease. We may not get them into a perfect thyroid level, but we want to get it so it's low enough so they're not wasting away.
Mm-hmm.
And then, unfortunately, with kidney disease, diet is one thing you can do. There are some supplements that you can give, vitamin supplements. And there are some other supplements that are supposed to help decrease the waste product that build up in their blood. That's what makes them feel sick. And then give the hydration she was talking about, giving fluids under the skin that we sometimes teach owners how to do at home. Mm. And some cats are great. Some cats are not. I had a cat with kidney failure who did it for a while and then said, no, thanks.
No
so,
more.
You know, you do what you can do.
Chris also writes, we've heard that raising her T4 level might help.
Yes, and that's what I mean about maybe backing off on the thyroid treatment a little bit to give those kidneys a bit of a break.
And finally, any therapies for nausea and appetite stimulation?
Oh, definitely. We have some really good meds for cats now that will do both. Mm. You know, we have some great anti-nausea medicines. There's one called Serenia that I love. And then there are some appetite stimulants that can be given, too.
Our number here is 800-348-2551 on this Pets and Vets edition of Vox Pop. Dr. Carrie O'Loughlin of Del Mar Animal Hospital is here. And to the phones we go. Paul in Williamstown, Massachusetts. Paul, you're on.
Hi there.
Hi.
Reason I'm calling is I lost a cat last week. I had four, and one of them was my favorite. He was a male, 11 years old. And I came home one afternoon after work, and he was laid out straight on the floor. I mean, his tail was straight out behind him. He was laying on his side. There was no sign of trauma, no bite marks, no nothing coming out of his mouth. His body was very, very cold, stiff. And I rushed him to the vet because I was worried that maybe he'd been poisoned, and I have three other cats. And of course, the vet was kind of reluctant to get involved with it at that point. It wasn't my regular vet. But they did say that more than likely the cat had a stroke. And I've owned cats my entire life, since the time I was a child. I've had cats in my homes, and I've never heard of this and never lost a cat to such a thing. Is that true?
Well,
cats can die of a stroke.
Yeah, first of all, I'm real sorry about your cat. That really stinks coming home to find that. A stroke, sort of. I would actually think more a heart attack. Cats can have heart disease. And unfortunately, the first sign of heart disease in a lot of cats is sudden death.
Mm. Really?
Sometimes they don't even have a heart murmur that we can detect. So it can be really hard to know that a cat's walking around with heart disease if they don't present with any kind of murmur. There is now a new blood test. There's been a test out for a while that helps you sort of get an idea of whether a cat's at risk for having a thickened heart muscle. It used to be something we had to send out to a lab. They've now come out with an in-house test that we can do at our office.
Wow.
So we've been actually doing that a lot on cats just as a screening tool. Unfortunately, it won't help your kitty. Cats can have strokes, but they're usually related to heart disease. So I would think he had heart disease. Now, big question, any of your remaining cats, are they related to him?
No, not at all. They're all from different sources.
Okay, because heart disease can run in families. Okay. So if you find, you know, someone in your house does have heart disease, it's a good idea to get your other relative cats checked.
Okay.
But,
all right, that's helpful. Thank you.
All right, I'm sorry about your kitty.
Let's go over to Tammy in Saratoga. Tammy, you're on.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a 16-year-old male Shih Tzu. He's really in pretty good health overall, a few lumps and bumps, but he's totally deaf and now totally blind. One eye was blind from injury. The other one has cataracts. Wondering what your thoughts are about cataract surgery and how tough that is on a 16-year-old dog.
Well, congratulations on having a 16-year-old dog. That's great. We don't get too many dogs to 16. So cataract surgery, first of all, before any ophthalmologist, and this would be done by an ophthalmologist, of which we have several in the area, the first thing they would do is they do some additional testing on the eyes to make sure that the retina is still working. So cataracts are basically the lens becomes cloudy and they can't see through it. But if their retina, which is the nerve portion in the back of the eye, if that is also not working, then fixing the cataract isn't going to help their eyesight. So they can do a test through the cataract that tests the retina, and they would do that first. Other than that, the cataract surgery is sort of the similar to what people get, where they, you know, make a little slice in the cornea and go in and sort of suck the contents of the lens out. They don't put a lens implant in usually because the dog doesn't need to read. So they just want to get rid of that cloudiness.
Right.
There is risk with that surgery, though. I have seen dogs go on to develop glaucoma and end up losing the eye anyway.
Oh, boy.
So it's not without risk. So it would be a conversation to have both with your vet and with the ophthalmologist of what they think is best.
Tammy, we have to take a break here. How long does the average Shih Tzu live?
Well, average, I mean, you can get dogs into their late teens.
Yeah.
Sure.
All right. Our guest today is Dr. Carrie O'Loughlin. It's Pets and Vets today on Vox Pop. And our number is 800-348-2551. We'll be right back.
Support for WAMC comes from Chester Common Table, Main Street, Chester, Massachusetts. Locally sourced comfort food, beers, wine, and cocktails. Live music every Friday. Outdoor seating available. ChesterCommonTable.com. Interactive Media Consulting, a team of online market strategists providing websites, branding, and digital marketing to the Capital Region and beyond since 1996. iMediaConsult.com. Grapes and Grains Wine and Spirits, East Greenbush, New York. Offering wine and craft spirits from around the globe and from local artisans with weekly tastings, stocking single malts, bourbons, tequilas, and gins, grapesandgrainswine.com. Curtis Lumber, featuring great American kitchen, Wellborn cabinets, and Cambria quartz countertops, 100% American-made products by American workers, sold locally by Curtis Lumber, curtislumber.com. And Culligan Water of the Northeast, for over 80 years, providing pure drinking water as well as options for problem water at home and at work. CulliganNortheast.com.
Vox Pop on WAMC. The number is 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551, or the email address is voxpop@wamc.org. We're joined today by Dr. Carrie O'Loughlin of Del Mar Animal Hospital. And a couple of quick emails here. Doctor, this one is from Mike. My 10-year-old asked me this. Sounds like an odd question, but how do hamsters typically die? My kids have had Bob for about a year. Have no idea how old he is. He's healthy. Do hamsters typically get sick, or will my girls just wake up one morning and he'll be belly up? Thanks for that, Mike.
Yeah, I will say, unfortunately, to mine, I don't work on hamsters, I will say right off the bat. I've owned a few in my previous life.
Right.
They generally don't live very old. I mean,
no.
Most rodents, you know, 3 to 5 years is pretty good.
Yeah.
And ones I've had, occasionally hamsters can get a really nasty form of diarrhea called wet tail.
Oh, splendid.
That can kill them. But the ones I've had, I just basically wake up in the morning and they're...
Yeah.
They've gone to the other side. So,
okay.
You know.
Do hamsters go to heaven? That's another question.
Why not?
Okay, fair enough. This
what
one's
did
from,
they do wrong?
Well, obviously they could mess up the house. This one is from William in Selkirk. Whether to let the cat run free outside remains a heated debate in our house. Would appreciate hearing Carrie O'Loughlin's thoughts about this. Good luck with that political...
Yeah, you know, this has been a long-standing debate amongst the veterinary community as well. I am in the camp of I let my cats out. You know, yes, they are at higher risk for, you know, getting injured and getting hit by a car and... You know, coming across a coyote or, you know, something like that. But I also feel that we see a lot of indoor cats with behavior issues because they're stuck in a little tiny house or apartment. And cats are basically made to have about a 1 mile radius, you know, territory. And I don't know anyone that has a house that big.
They're very territorial, too, aren't they?
Yeah, and you put 3 or 4 cats in a house, and now, you know, you've really got them cramped. So,
yeah.
You know.
All right.
I know Rich Guthrie hates eating the birds.
And we argue about this quite a bit.
I have a lot of birds in my yard, and, you know, I don't think my cats are knocking down the population a whole lot.
All right, fair enough. Well, you and Rich can duke it out in a steel cage death match at some point. This one's from Wyatt. Hi, I'm a dog groomer. We have a lot of dogs who come in this time of year that bite their feet. There's nothing visible on them causing it. Could it be weather-related, or is there something else at hand? Thank you.
I can say one word, allergy.
Ah.
Yes. Dogs lick and chew their feet more times than not because of allergies. And then they can get infections, but they start the biting and the chewing because of allergies.
They itch.
They itch. Yep.
And so Benadryl?
Antihistamines are very hit and miss in dogs. Sometimes they work, sometimes they don't. We have a lot of good medications now that really will cut the itch that have very few side effects. So.
Okay. This one's from Todd, and then we'll get back to the phones. I have a 3.5-year-old Plothound Rottweiler mix. He's great in the car until we get about a mile close to home. Then he barks incessantly and aggressively at anything and anyone until I get him out of the car at home. Do you know why and how to stop it? Sounds like a smart dog. Knows the neighborhood.
He does know that. Hey, my dog used to get so excited when we got within a couple of blocks of my mother-in-law's house. I mean, he knew we'd be in the car for hours, and he'd get all excited once we got close to mom.
Did you get that excited when you got close to your mother-in-law's house?
I love my mother-in-law.
Okay. All right. Fair enough.
So, but yeah, I'm assuming he's just being territorial. You can reprimand him just like you would reprimand him any other time. Just, you know, hey, quiet, sit. You know, teach him some commands that he knows to do in the house and have him do it in the car. And just don't let him get away with being a bit of a jerk in the car.
All right. Let's go back to the phones at 800-348-2551. Dr. Carrie O'Loughlin is our guest. Jane, somewhere in New York State, it says here. Hi, Jane.
Hi. How are you?
Good.
What you got for us?
I am actually calling from Utica, New York.
Oh, cool.
I'm in my car, so I hope you can hear me.
Yes, we can.
We have a cat, a male cat, who is about 10, and he has a thyroid condition, and we opted to try food, thyroid medicated food, which he eats and tolerates and seems to really like. He did great for several years on that, and then all of a sudden started vomiting in the morning as soon as he ate his breakfast. So we cut his food down. And still vomiting, food would come right back up undigested. And the vet tried Pepcid-AC. We tried that. No luck. He was not happy about that. And now we have him on, I think it's prednisolone, something like that, that's a steroid. And she has him worked down. My husband started with, I forgot the dosage, but now it's a half a pill. And we just tried every other day, and he started vomiting again. And I have another friend who said cats can tolerate steroids for a long period of time. Can we give him the steroid?
You can. I would start to wonder, I'm assuming he's on YD. Is that what he's eating?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. YD.
That's the only thyroid diet I know of. So I'm wondering, cats or any animal, dogs or cats, can develop food allergy at any point in their life. And I'm wondering if he's developed an allergy to something in the YD.
How would we find out?
Well, unfortunately, the only way to know would be to take him off the YD, which would then mean he'd have to go on some sort of, thyroid medication.
Yeah.
Yes, cats can tolerate a fair amount of prednisolone, but they are also at increased risk of diabetes the longer they're on it and the more they have to take. So you're kind of, and the last thing you need with a hyperthyroid cat is for him to get diabetes as well, because now you're going to have two weight loss, diseases to deal with.
Right.
So
he's a cat. I don't know that we could pill him. And they said we would need to give him like 7 pills a day or something that sounded
nothing like that. We have a lot of cats that are on a flavored.
Can you grind the what we do now is my husband grinds up the pills and puts it in his food and he'll eat it that way.
Yeah. I mean, you could do that with the thyroid medicine too. They also make flavored tablets. You can even get the thyroid medicine made into an ear gel that you rub on the skin of his ear and it just get absorbed that way. There are a bunch of different ways of doing that. But, I would just wonder if he's become sensitive to the food somehow.
Okay. And if we stop the food, then we'd have to add in the pills right away, or could we stop it for a while, try him on a regular diet?
Oh, my assumption is as soon as he goes off the YD, he's going to need some medicine.
Okay. All right. Well, that's great. I'll discuss that with the vet.
Thank you. You're
Thanks,
welcome.
Thanks, Jane. We appreciate it. And the connection was great from Utica. Let's go to Don in Hunter Mountain, New York. Don, you're on.
Hi, Dr. and Ray. I have a quick, unsimple question. Is there a quick way to know if you got an African gray parrot, if it's male or female?
Unfortunately, I don't know. Yeah, I don't deal with parrots, and I know there are a lot of birds that it's really hard to tell what sex they are.
Oh, boy. There are hilarious jokes coming to mind, but I think I'm going to leave that alone.
I thought I'd ask that anyhow, just in case you might know.
Yeah, unfortunately not. Not my area of expertise.
Oh, sorry, Don. We appreciate the call. 800-348-2551. Let's go to Mark in Salem. Mark, you're on.
Hi. What a beautiful day out. I have a female cat that was a stray. She apparently, in the first 2 years of her life, had two litters. And when I got her, she was emaciated to the point of, you know, I was concerned about her survival. And most of her hair had fallen off her stomach and around her sides. And I had her spayed and shots and things. And she is perfectly healthy now, except that her fur is still awfully thin. I mean, it's come back in, and it's growing in. Is there anything that I could give her, like brewer's yeast on her food or something? Her fur feels kind of rough when you pet her. It's not. It's like it feels like it was maybe it's new fur, so I expected it to be somewhat softer than it is. She's always licking herself and biting at things, and she's very active. She's like one of Miss Busy, I call her Miss Kitty. She's like Miss Busybody, and she does this as her routine now. I don't think it's fleas because I have flea stuff on her neck, but her fur just seems to be very thin for a female cat that's what 2 years old. She seems like she should have a thicker coat on. So I'm wondering what supplements that might be.
Okay.
So, Mark, question for you. So how long a period of time are we talking about that she's been growing her hair back?
Oh, at this point, probably about 5 months.
Oh, okay. You might want to just give her a little more time. The hair does grow in cycles, and especially right now, we're going into, they're all trying to put hair on for the winter.
Sure.
Whether they go outside or not, they all, will sort of thicken up their coat for the winter. So she may thicken up over the next few months.
Okay.
If not, you could, they do make essential fatty acids that are really good for the skin and the coat. And you could get some. They make them in liquids and granules and things.
You'd feed the cat or just put it on the cat's hair?
You'd mix it in the food.
Okay.
Something
they
take orally. And then that may help her. But I would think over the winter she's going to thicken up and fill in.
As a kid, we always gave that to the cats.
Yeah, that's not going to hurt. That's not going to hurt.
Will it help?
But they make some specific essential fatty acids for the skin and coat in animals. So, and you could find that in, your veterinarian or even in the pet store.
Okay.
And you think after a while she'll distribute the weight that she's put on right in the middle because she's been eating a lot to catch up.
Yeah. Cats are like people. Some of them are pear shaped and some of them are apple shaped. So it depends on her body style.
All right, Mark, thanks a lot for the call. Our number here on Pets and Vets edition of Vox Pop is 800-348-2551. 800-348-2551. We're joined today by Dr. Carrie O'Loughlin of Del Mar Animal Hospital. And let's go to Marjorie in Saugerties. Hi, Marjorie.
Hey, Ray. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm pretty darn good. Listen, I just wanted to make a comment about the person who called this his dog.
Yeah, your connection's bad. Try it one more time, Marjorie. Oh, well, I'll tell you what. I think we lost her. She's on a cell phone. Tell you what, Marjorie calls back. We'll put her right on the list, and we'll get her right back in here. Meantime, let's go to Chad in Del Mar. Chad.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good.
Good. Real kind of basic question. I've got a dog that chews her, I think you call it a dew claw on the side, and I chews it like right down to almost nothing. It doesn't seem to cause her pain, but I'm wondering if I should be concerned about that or why that might be happening.
So this is in the front, on the front feet?
That's correct.
Yeah. And she doesn't chew the other toenails at all?
No.
Okay. Because they can get nail bed infections. which can make it irritated and therefore draw their attention to it. And then, of course, the more they lick and chew at it, the more it's going to exacerbate any infection. So, you know, it might not be a bad idea to have it looked at. You can do, little cytology. You get a little, Q-tip or something like that in there, and you can look at it under the microscope and see if there's actual, either yeast or bacterial infection going on, sort of like an athlete's foot. And that can be irritating. Other than that, sometimes, it can be a sort of funky habit.
Well, barring doing the cytology, could you not just get some sort of an athlete's foot sort of remedy for an animal and just put it on as a prophylactic?
It depends on whether it's bacteria or yeast, though, of what you're going to treat it with.
I'll check into that, then. It doesn't seem to be causing her any pain. It's just really odd, that's all.
Yep. Or you could temporarily try a home remedy of a little vinegar and water.
Okay.
Hello?
Hang on. We jumped the gun.
My name is George.
Stand by a minute here. Let's go back to Chad. Chad, are you there?
Yeah.
Well, that was weird.
I blame our call screener.
That's okay.
Awesome. Anyway. But I will definitely give her like a bath, like, or something, like just like, you know, like a foot. Foot bath of like vinegar and water.
Yes, vinegar and water sometimes will help a little bit if it's just a little minor infection.
All right, so that was really weird. We had two calls at once. I didn't even know we could do that. Zach, the engineer, is looking puzzled. All right, now let's go back to Marjorie in Saugerties. Marjorie, you're on.
I am. Great. I just wanted to comment about the allergy on the feet. It could also be from whatever they apply on their lawn. And any kind of grain that is in the food that the dog is eating.
True. But the grain in the food is allergy.
Right.
So, it all kind of goes down to allergy one way or the other. They're reacting either to, things they're inhaling or being exposed to with pollens and that, or not necessarily grains. Everyone picks on grains, but grains are proteins in the diet.
Mm.
So, yes, that's very true. Very true.
Right. And also people put stuff on their lawns.
Yeah, that's true. Although
we don't walk barefoot on our lawns, and most of the dogs walk barefoot on the lawns. Just something to think about as far as that kind of chewing. I once had a dog that did that a lot.
Yeah.
And I changed his food to a raw diet, and I never had any issues ever again.
Yeah.
But, allergies can be such a torturous thing for the animal.
Absolutely.
Yeah, well, thanks. Hey, Marjorie, thanks a lot. And we hope to maybe we'll see you during the fun drive, yeah?
Maybe you will, Ray. You take care.
All right, have a good one. We'll go over to Patrick. Patrick in Millbrook, you're on.
Hey, I have a pet aunt. He's 20 years living now, and used to love to go on the counter, but, oh, no, I'm kidding.
Yeah.
I was calling about the African Grey.
Oh, good.
I had an African Grey.
Yeah.
And for many, many years, her name was Ruby, and we thought that she was definitely a female because she did the ritualistic regurgitation for me and dancing and prancing and doing all the mating rituals and stuff. And then I had to, unfortunately, part with the bird. And so then years later, I saw the people and they said, well, we're not so sure Ruby's a girl. Anyway, I think the short answer is no. I think it comes down to a blood test and or some kind of a physical exam where the bird might have to be anesthetized at some level.
Oh, very interesting.
That's the best answer.
Well, I hesitate to ask, but how did the other people who had the bird find out?
Well, they didn't. Her name was just Ruby. I don't know. Again, she came second hand and then third hand to me. So,
all right.
Everybody just assumed that she was a girl, but then this other person who got them did some more research, and the bird apparently started exhibiting some male behavior. So it's a mystery.
Well, watching football or something. Hey, Patrick, thanks a lot. Most interesting. It's all uphill from here. Let's go to Jen in Bolton. Jen, you're on.
Hi there. I have a cat who we got her from a local no-kill shelter. She spent 2 years there, and she got kennel cough. And I've tried so many different medications. Seems like nothing actually clears her up. And I've had one doctor that actually said we're not going to shake it. And she's perfectly happy, healthy. She runs around, she eats, but there's snot all over, and her voice is actually like husky and gruff, but I mean, she acts happy. Is it really affecting her, or is there something else I can maybe try?
Now, you said this was a cat, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, and so her main thing is she has a sneezy, snotty nose.
Oh, yeah, all over.
Yeah. Chronic sinusitis can be a problem in cats.
Okay.
And it basically, I was told by an internal medicine expert at one point, you need to tell these people, don't plan on curing them, just plan on dealing with it for the rest of their life.
Wow.
At some level. Because some of these cats, you can't get the infection out all the way. I have had some actually good luck doing a combination of things where I do a round of antibiotics and a drug called Serenia, which is actually used for nausea. It's actually not even labeled for cats. It's mm-hmm. labeled for dogs only, but we use it in cats all the time. And it has anti-inflammatory effects.
Ah.
And I've had some cats with chronic sinus issues that I've been able to get pretty much cleared up most of the time by using a sort of low-dose Serenia a couple of times a week.
Oh,
so it might be something to talk to your vet about.
For the rest of their lives? They gave me medications that worked, a couple weeks, and then it just it didn't.
If the Serenia works, it's pretty much for the rest of their lives.
Okay, and it's just, is it something, like, really expensive?
No, it's not. Not for a kitty cat, because you end up giving a quarter of a tablet a couple of times a week. So once you get them cleared up, the maintenance isn't expensive.
Say it again, Jen.
Okay. It's 2 things. You have to give her something for an antibiotic and then this and keep giving her that?
Correct. So I usually do the antibiotic and then start them on the Serenia, and then hopefully the antibiotics gets the current thing cleared up and the Serenia keeps it cleared up.
Okay.
Serenia, S-E-R something.
It's C-E-R-E-N-I-A.
Okay, thank you.
You're
Jen,
welcome.
Thanks a lot. We'll take a break here. Dr. Carrie O'Loughlin is our guest. 800-348-2551 is the number on this Pets and Vets edition of Vox Pop. We'll be right back.
Support for WAMC comes from Ruby Star Healing Arts Rhinebeck, offering spiritual consulting, energy healings, psychic readings, yoga, massage, beauty treatments, private hosted events, crystals, and more in a setting overlooking Rhinebeck. RubyStarHealingArts.com. Lakeview Orchard and Farm Stand, 94 Old Cheshire Road, Lanesboro, Massachusetts. Apples, peaches, pumpkins, winter squash, apple cider, pies, pastries, kapusta, galumpki, and pierogies. LakeviewOrchard.com. Agricultural Stewardship Association, presenting their 16th annual Landscapes for Land's Sake art exhibit, October 7th through 9th, in Washington County, opening reception October 7th, noon to 5 p.m., to benefit local farmland protection, agstewardship.org. And Merriman and Fister's Marketplace, Del Mar, an independent artisan gift shop showcasing the works of artisans in the community and beyond, merrimanfister.com. And NatureWorks Organic Land Care, specializing in innovative ecological landscape construction of outdoor living spaces, all organic food systems and garden features, design, installation, and organic maintenance. NatureWorksLandCare.com.
Vox Pop on WAMC. Ray Graff here with you at 2:42 on a Wednesday afternoon. A week flying by already. Our number here is 800-348-2551. Dr. Carrie O'Loughlin is our guest, and Dr. O will go with a couple of emails here and then back to the phones. This one's from Sharon. I have a 6-month-old Maine Coon kitten. Problem is, he's picked me as his chew toy. Will this stop? He's been neutered and is fine with everyone else.
Yeah, I mean, some cats are... I have a cat that's kind of mouthy.
Yeah.
And, you have to... A, you have to get good at reading their body language. A lot of times they'll let you pet them for a little while, and then all of a sudden they want to do the chomp down on you. But you can usually get a little... they start to... Their ears go back a little bit, or they start to get that little wound-up look, and then it's time to, quit. Again, you can train a cat just like you can train a dog, reprimand them. If he does that, you push him off your lap or you walk away, and he learns that his play toy disappears every time he shows that behavior, he's going to be less likely to do it.
I've had a lot of cats over the years, and I always find that endearing.
Yeah.
Because they always know just how far to bite.
Yeah, no, not always.
Mine do.
Mine.
I had a Siamese cat when I was a kid. We played. She was pretty rough, but she always knew when to quit. It was very good. This one's from Ryan. Our French bulldog has recently developed some elongated bumps on his head like ridges. It sort of gives him the look of someone with bulging veins in his forehead. He doesn't seem sensitive in those spots or anything out of the ordinary. Any idea what's going on here? He's 3 years old. His name is Caesar. You might know him.
Wow.
They live in Del Mar.
I'm a little stumped on that one. I don't know what would make ridges in the skin.
Bumps, elongated bumps in the head. So maybe do some phrenology, right?
Yeah. If it's not bothering him terribly, the next time you're in at the vet, have a look at it. If it's getting any worse, then I would get him into the vet.
If the bumps get bigger,
yeah,
maybe get in sooner rather than later.
Sooner, yeah.
All right, this one is from R, just R. My 3-year-old dog got a gash on her upper leg while running in the woods on Monday. It wasn't a bite. I took her to the vet right away, and they put 5 staples to close it, and it seems to be healing well, but the whole leg is swollen. Not painful, but quite swollen. I'm concerned about giving Rovera because of possible scary side effects. Will the swelling go away on its own? And if so, how long does it take?
I have no idea what Rovera is.
I don't know.
So
Geraldo Rivera, right?
Yeah, I'm not sure what that is, but... Yeah, I mean, you're going to have some swelling. I hope the dog is on antibiotics, because any kind of wound like that that they got out in the woods. So I'd be concerned, is there infection setting in?
Okay.
If it's hot and swollen, they definitely should have it checked again and get the dog on antibiotics. If it's just a little puffy, you know, there's going to be some swelling, and you could always do some, you know, cool compresses.
Well, our ads also, the vet said seroma might happen and it might need to be drained, but I've been reading the body eventually reabsorbs those fluids.
Yeah. So if it's a seroma, which is basically a pocket of fluid, because the incident happened in an area where there was a lot of motion.
Yeah.
That will usually resolve with time. And then actually warm compressing would be good, because it helps bring blood flow to the area.
Okay. Let's go to Linda in Long Lake. Linda, you're on with Dr. Carrie O'Loughlin.
Hi. What is the optimum diet for my 5-year-old cat?
Well, generally, the thinking these days with kitty cats is an all-can diet. So optimum would be a good quality all-can diet with generally trying to stay away from the gravies. So basically, most of your meat-based or straight fish-based pate-type diets. How much to feed? I usually tell people the sort of tuna fish size can per day per cat, or 2 of the little sort of fancy feast sized cans per cat per day. And then if you want to give them dry food, you know, I think of dry food like Doritos. They're okay,
really?
You know, as a snack, but they really shouldn't be the main bulk of the diet. And then potentially even giving the dry food in like a play toy that they have to work at to get the dry food out, so they're burning some calories while getting their food.
All right, Linda, thanks a lot for the call. Now, is it true, again, in my experience with cats, if you give them wet food and you also leave a little dry, they will automatically go to the wet food, and the dry they'll only do when they're really hungry?
Yeah, it depends on the cat.
Really?
I mean,
some will just go for the dry?
I've had some cats in my life, and I've had some clients of mine who say they just can't get the cat on wet food.
Wow.
The cats just prefer dry. Some of it depends on what they were fed as kittens. You know, if they never see wet food, they're given dry food their whole life, and then you try and introduce wet food, they don't recognize it as food.
Yeah.
So I've had some of my cats in the past that I had trouble switching them over to canned. But some cats do great on dry. Honestly, I know I'm saying it's best to do canned food. If you have a skinny cat that is eating the dry food and isn't turning into a meatball, some cats do great on dry.
All right, let's go to Linda in Connecticut. Linda, you're on.
Hi, thank you for taking my call today.
Sure.
Quick question for you. I have a Maine Coon pedigree, who's 5 years old. Actually, she just turned six. I've been feeding her Origin, grain-free, and just a basic wet food, although last month she started blowing her fur coat and developed quite a few hairballs. So she subsequently has gotten rid of them, but in the process she's lost a few pounds. She was about maybe 16 pounds, so she's lost maybe 3 pounds, I'm guessing. I changed her diet to science diet, hairball remedy, dry food, and giving her the wet food also. So she seems to be doing well with that. Should I have any concerns? And will she gain her weight back, do you think?
Okay.
So, yeah, my concerns would be, you know, that generally hairballs in, you know, vomiting in any cat is not normal.
Right.
Yes, if they're ingesting a ton of hair, they're a long-haired cat, and they are bringing up big wads of hair in their vomit, you know, hair can be irritating. But when you have a cat that's vomiting like that and losing a significant amount of weight, your cat, unfortunately, is at a pretty classic age for a cat to develop something like inflammatory bowel disease.
Yeah.
So it might not be a bad idea to get her checked.
Okay.
It's unfortunately not a simple disease to diagnose, but they can certainly, you know, do some blood work and examine, see what the intestines feel like on the examination, things like that, that can lean them in that direction.
All right, Linda, thank you very much for the call. Our number here is 800-348-2551. Let's go to Adina in Thompson Ridge, New York. Where's Thompson Ridge, Adina?
It's near Pine Bush.
Oh, fantastic. Well, you're on the air with Dr. Carrie O'Loughlin.
I'm thrilled. I'm hoping you could help me. I'm going through displaced aggression, second bout of it in the last 8 months, with two indoor cats scared by something on the outside, one turned on the other viciously, and we were able to calm the attacker down with some rescue remedy. And now suddenly, after peaceful existence, it's come back. One is viciously attacking the other one.
Have you tried anything like Feel Away diffusers?
Yep. Feel Away, Comfort Z, Children's Liquid Benadryl. I don't know what else to do.
They did just also come out with a new product called Soliquin, which is a nutritional supplement that's supposed to help sort of calm anxious critters, dogs and cats. It comes as a little chewable.
How do I spell it?
It's S-O-L-L-I-Q-U-I-N, I believe.
What does it do?
It's supposed to calm.
We're living in an open floor plan house that now is sectioned off into two territories.
Yeah, it's hard. And then, unfortunately, not knowing what they're seeing outside, you know, besides also, you know, covering your windows, I guess the hope is with winter coming that it'll be darker out a lot more.
That's interesting. What could they possibly see that would provoke that?
Oh, they can see. Well, they can see another cat walking by. They can see something. A displaced aggression happens when an animal sees something that gets them upset, and they can't take out their aggression on that thing. They can't get to it.
Yeah.
So they'll turn around. We've had cats and dogs attack their owners.
Really?
Are
you kidding me?
Yeah. It's
horrible. They just saw the cat once, and that was enough to trigger the behavior.
Yeah.
Wow.
And again, it continued and finally stopped using a rescue remedy. And again, I don't know what triggered the second bout, but I will try the Soliquin because I haven't heard of it.
Yep.
And we're desperate.
You know, and then there are other things like Prozac, things like that. But that, you know, the Prozac works great in some cats, but it does take a little time to kick in.
Okay.
So you have to have a little patience with that.
Well, thanks, Adina. We appreciate the call. Boy, an interesting one. Let's go over to Greg in Kingston. Greg.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Sure.
I have a 4-year-old male that was stumbling and falling down, and we ended up bringing him to the vet. He's had body temperature dropped 3 degrees. He had arrhythmia, they said, and we brought him up to a specialist in Albany. They had that night his eardrum ruptured, and they said put him on an IV for 4 days. And when he came out, he was markedly improved. We put him on 2 bouts of amoxicillin, got a little more improvement, but he still walked around with his head tilted and doesn't seem to see right. And also, we put him now on clindamycin. We're doing that for 2 weeks. And my question is, does this inner ear thing ever go away? Does his head tilt ever come back to normal? And the other thing is, can you tell me a little bit about arrhythmia?
And this is in a cat, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, so as far as the ear infection goes, you know, certainly if it's, you know, a middle ear infection, they can take some time to clear up for sure. And hopefully with the eardrum actually being ruptured, that's actually not a bad thing because it gives it a drainage, you know, way for the infection to get out. Sometimes it does take, unfortunately, some sedated ear flushings if it's not really clearing up with just the antibiotics. The head tilt, that's a big question mark. Unfortunately, sometimes even when the problem resolves, the cat's equilibrium resets with the head tilted.
Ooh.
So they think their head's on straight. So if he gets to the point where he's walking along fine with no balance issues, but his head is just crooked, he may be cocking his head at you for the rest of his life.
Oh boy.
But he won't know any different. He thinks his head's straight. And the arrhythmia just means the heart is beating irregularly. That can be a temporary thing. It can be sort of a, oh, well, you know, it's a passing thing, or it can be something serious going on with the heart. I'm assuming if he was at the specialist, they would have looked into that.
Yeah, yes, they did. They said to bring him back in 6 months to get an echocardiogram.
Okay. All right. Yep, then I would just follow that direction. They're good at dealing with that stuff.
Greg, thanks a lot. We go over to Richard in Coxsackie. Richard, you're on.
Well, good afternoon. It's a pleasure to speak to both of you. I have a rather abstract question about whether animals have souls, and if you can offer any kind of suggested reading about that or other opinions.
All right, Doctor, let's pose this question to you. Do animals have souls in your opinion?
Well,
your experience.
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, I don't know of any books off the top of my head that I could recommend. But I personally think, why not? If people have souls, why wouldn't animals?
Okay.
You know?
So there's really, you're not a definitive answer on this.
No.
Okay.
I don't think there's a yes or no on that.
No.
You know.
I think the Pope weighed in on this not too long ago.
Yeah.
I think he's on the side of the animals have souls.
I would like to think that any living critter out there has a soul of some sort.
All right. Let's go to Kim in Oneonta. Kim, you're on.
Yeah, good afternoon. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I'll change gear a little bit because you kind of answered one of my questions.
All right, we only have about a minute here, so
okay.
Go ahead.
I'll get back to it. I have a 17-year-old black short hair, and every night when I come home from work, I wonder if she's still with me. Is there any signs I should be looking for that would tell me it's about her time to go?
Well, generally, it's. I always tell people, is the cat... You're worried about when it's time to have her euthanized.
Well, I'm hoping I don't go that route. I'm
right.
Hoping I just come home someday and she's asleep. But
right.
I'm worried about her wandering off like another one did a couple years ago and just disappearing.
Yeah.
When he was old.
Yeah. It's a general quality of life issue in my mind. You know, are they
okay.
Generally enjoying their life? Are they out and around? Are they, you know, if the cat's going into hiding when they don't feel good.
Yeah.
So if the cat's going into hiding, that's... not a good sign.
Well, they're having a good life. I give them both dry food and wet food. They only eat the wet food that comes with cheese. So then they got everything they want 24/7.
Good. Good.
Well, I guess we'll know when it's time to go, which is right now.
Ah.
Dr. Carrie O'Loughlin, great job today. Interesting program,
yes.
Huh? So I want you to research the whole thing about animals and souls.
Animals and souls.
Next
and
time
how
you're
to
on.
Sex a parrot.
the way you said it. Okay. Support comes from Jane Iredale, a mineral makeup company specializing in makeup that is good for the skin. Jane Iredale retail shop at Louisa Ellis Boutique, Great Barrington, janeiredale.com. Saratoga Jewish Community Arts, Saratoga Springs, New York, presenting Keep Quiet, October 15th at 7 p.m. Panel discussion and reception to follow at Temple Sinai. SaratogaSinai.org for details. Claire Pearson, Shelburne Falls, Massachusetts, for 14 years offering plant spirit medicine and energy clearing for health, body, mind, and spirit. C-L-A-R-E, Pearson.net. And Penny Farthing Investment Management, Amherst, a socially conscious fee-only investment advisor of personal retirement and endowment portfolios, including the Bright Penny Community Strategies, brightpenny.org. Well, thanks again to Dr. Carrie O'Loughlin for being here. Thanks to you for listening and to everybody who called in today. Sorry if we did not get to your calls. We do appreciate them. We do the best we can. Our engineer, Zach Malloy. Splendid job, sir. The phones were answered by Carol Lapani. Our producer is Jim Lavoulis. I'm Ray Graff. Tomorrow, well, guess who's here? Bob Berman will be back to answer your astronomy questions. So get ready, look up at the sky, and come up with a question for tomorrow. Right now, stand by for news.